Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is the 14th of February, 2025. And if you're indulging in the day's festivities, do support your local independent florists and restaurants and go for the Irish-made Shock Loggia. And if you've forgotten, nothing says love like the last few decaying carnations at your local petrol station. Gra for all. And you can love bomb us in the usual way on the WhatsApp. That's 087 032 32 32, or you can email oliver@rte.ie. Hell of a show for you today. Breen F. O'Byrne is going to be here with us. He's played many priests on the big screen and elsewhere in Million Dollar Baby, remember that? On Broadway as well, for which he's won a Tony Award. He was also the bus driver, remember, in Intermission, and the star of the Brown Sauce scene, which has gone into infamy. And priest once again, he is Monsignor, in fact, a Monsignor in Conclave, which has been a real critical and commercial hit. It's still in Irish cinemas, in fact. And he lives in Ireland now after spending most of his career in the US. He's a very, very busy actor. The IFTAs are on tonight. That's why he's in this town particularly. So we're going to meet him and have a chat with him. Looking forward to that. We've had Robert Harris on the show, who wrote Conclave, the novel. Spoke to Edward Berger, who directed it. Stanley Tucci was also here talking about Conclave. And now Breen F. O'Byrne. And I even went to the Vatican last September. Some might say that I have some kind of fixation there, but it is purely, purely accidental, I assure you. And our visiting critic today, because it is Friday, the MOCRA president, Elaine Houlihan. She's back with us because she's a great fun woman. We met before at the ploughing last year, and she, this week, she's reviewing an experience in Kilkenny that had her confront one of her great fears. I'll tell you no more. We'll explain it all to you later, shall we? Yes, indeed. 51551 is also the text as well, which you can get into touch with us. Now, Michael Noonan is the man of the moment across the media overnight. No, not that one. Millions and billions. No. This is a different fellow altogether. At the age of just 16 and 197 days, Michael Noonan, he is the king of the sports pages. He scored for Shamrock Rovers on his debut for the team last night and is now the youngest goal scorer in the European club competition history. What a way to start. It's a dream beginning. The Hoops won the match 1-0 in the UEFA Conference League clash, and it was against Norwegian team Molde last night, and that's the first leg of that match. But he's all over the papers. Irish Daily Mail: Hi Noonan, famous win for Rovers as youngster breaks the mould. Molde, but we let them get away with that one. New, as in Noonan, new kid on the block. That's the front page of the Examiner. He's everywhere in the Irish Times. Noonan's teenage kick gives Rovers a leg to stand on. Ah, beautiful puns. Striker breaks the European record on his debut to hand his side an advantage to take back to Tala, because Shamrock Rovers take this 1-0 win to the second leg clash, which is next Thursday, and it's in Tala. What an occasion that's going to be, particularly because Michael Noonan came up through the youth system in St. Pat's. Oh, they'd be sore this morning. But the whole thing beautifully serves as an advertisement for the return of the League of Ireland, a brand new season that returns tonight. Lots of fans excited about that one. And I think fewer than 300 Rovers fans actually travelled to Norway for the event. Alan Kinsella is one of them, and he is a lifelong fan, and he's on the line as he makes his way through a busy airport, I believe, in Norway. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Oliver. In departures here in Molde at the moment. It's not quite as boisterous as here this morning as it was last night.
Everyone's a little bit tired and emotional this morning.
Yes. Well, it was fantastic. They're great headlines there you were reading out about Michael Noonan. Such a story. He was brilliant. That's like he won the, you know, was the lad who fouled him, got sent off and got the red card, and then of course the goal later on.
57 minutes, yes. I'm trying to hold on with your line, Alan. I know you're in an airport.
Yeah.
But you're a devoted fan, obviously, to go to Norway in February. It's quite something.
But actually, it was funny. My son booked, he went three flights. And luckily, the members club arranged the charter, so I only had the one flight. So it wasn't quite as bad. But it's brilliant. It was brilliant. And it's a beautiful place. We're looking here at snow-capped mountains and a fjord.
Beautiful.
Like very, very, absolutely beautiful. But the match was fantastic. Great atmosphere, great stadium, and Molde itself was brilliant. But it was really great to win. Like it's huge. The achievement to actually get a win out there. Because Molay are good. Like, it's they're a good team, good pedigree. So good hopefully team, we'll yes. sort them.
Next
sort
Thursday. You have your ticket for next week. You have your ticket next week.
I do indeed. And you've been in between on Sunday against Molay. So hopefully we'll win all those.
That's a big one. Listen, Alan, we'll let you go. The line's not great, but thanks so much for chatting to us, and enjoy these subdued dreams on the way back out of Monday. And we'll be watching
with interest.
Yeah, it's been a great season, and it's really good for the League of Ireland. Thanks, Alan. Good luck to you.
Okay, bye.
Safe travels, Slán. As he said there, the League of Ireland brand new season is starting tonight, and what he was mentioning there is Rovers and Bows are going to battle out in the Dublin Derby, and it's on Lansdowne Road in the Viva Stadium. That's on Sunday at 2 p.m. Bohemians generously give up the home advantage there to showcase the biggest derby in Irish soccer history, they hope, to an even larger crowd on Sunday afternoon there. So that's it's kind of the right way to start after a really exciting finish to the league last November. And those league title holders, Shelburne, with Damien Duff still in charge, they host Derry City. That's at Tulca Park tonight. St. Pat's are at home to Drogheda United, where Michael Noonan will be all the conversation on the way to that one. And Cork City host Galway United. All of that at 7:45 this evening. And there's ads around Dublin at the moment, a league of their own. So it is really all very good news. And we're talking about record-breaking transfers and stuff. So there's a buzz about the League of Ireland. Let's hope it continues and, more importantly, filters down to the national team as well. So that's all the crack. Okay, that's what's happening sports-wise over the weekend. There's also the league is still going on at the GAA, but there's a break for the rugby at the moment. That's back next weekend for the Six Nations and all the way hell for leather towards St. Patrick's Day and beyond. Now, with all the news in America at the moment about Ukraine and the very serious stuff, there's all the kind of paddling in the background which goes on. And I was following this story about Greenland, which obviously Donald Trump has repeatedly talked about buying, says it's, you know, essential for their economic security and hasn't ruled out military or indeed economic coercion to take control of it. And of course, Denmark and Greenland have rejected, saying the island is not for sale, end of. But it hasn't stopped Congressman Buddy Carter. Now, Buddy Carter is a real congressman from Alabama, although his name does sound like a new Adam Sandler film about a lovable man dropped on his head who accidentally becomes a World Series baseball coach, doesn't it? And probably marries Amy Adams at the end. But Buddy Carter has come up with a genius idea. He is actually proposing a bill that will rename Greenland, because they're mad into renaming things, the Red, White and Blue Land. That's his plan. Now, there's been retaliation from Denmark with a bit of crack. They have launched a satirical petition, which has 250,000 signatures of Danish people. And they basically said, well, maybe we should buy California. And they say, we'll buy California, turn it into New Denmark, and we'll bring hygge to Hollywood, bike lanes to Beverly Hills, and organic smørrebrød. That's the kind of brand bread, to every street corner. And they said, a bit of a dig towards America, going, of course we'll bring our universal healthcare and fact-based politics to apply. And Buddy Carter says, no, Red, White and Blue Land, because he says Greenland want to be a part of America to celebrate the great freedoms, because it's the freest country on earth, even though 85% of Greenlanders have said they do not want to be part of the US. Kind of surprised 15% said they do. But nonetheless, most of the Danes are kind of treating it with the disdain that it probably deserves. So the country that's all about freedom, what freedom are they practicing at the moment? The White House has said that news organisations that refuse to use President Trump's new name for the Gulf of Mexico will be banned from presidential events in the Oval Office, the White House and beyond. They have blocked the Associated Press, that's an international pool of reporters, AP, blocked from attending events in the Oval Office and the White House's diplomatic reception room. Why? Because their very influential style book, in it, they said they're going to continue to use the term Gulf of Mexico, despite Trump trying to decree that an international body of water be called the Gulf of America. So they've barred the journalists. This has led to much roulia-boulia inside the White House press room, as you'd imagine, and they've been asking, is barring the AP reporters just a retaliatory act, which is, you know, a breach of freedom of the press enshrined in the United States Constitution? And there's been a reaction from the feisty and fiery White House press secretary, who is Caroline Levitt. Here she is, holding forth.
I was very upfront in my briefing on day one that if we feel that there are lies being pushed by outlets in this room, we are going to hold those lies accountable. And it is a fact that the body of water off the coast of Louisiana is called the Gulf of America. And I'm not sure why news outlets don't want to call it that, but that is what it is. The Secretary of Interior has made that the official designation in the geographical identification name server, and Apple has recognized that, Google has recognized that, pretty much every other outlet in this room has recognized that body of water as the Gulf of America, and it's very important to this administration that we get that right, not just for people here at home, but also for the rest of the world.
She's very confident. I'm sometimes convinced by the things she says until you look them up afterwards. She's actually a fascinating woman because she's the youngest ever White House press secretary, 27 years of age, gave birth to her first child last July, and said she took the job, decided not to go on maternity leave because she saw President Trump get up from his assassination attempt and carry on. And she said, well, I have to go back to work myself then, don't I? The six-figure salary had nothing to do with it whatsoever. And so she's quite an interesting figure. So obviously, it's an international body of water. He doesn't have the absolute authority to rename the whole thing. That's what the AP, the Associated Press's argument is. But as of now, they are still banned from most of the White House kind of press appointments and so on. Larger outlets have created their own rules. The New York Times said it's going to continue to use Gulf of Mexico while noting Trump's renaming and stories that discuss the issue. Washington Post said it will use the Gulf of Mexico as well in most references because it says it's not solely within the US's jurisdiction. The name of Gulf of America might confuse global readers. Fox News says it's going to use Gulf of America. Of course it will. But the AP said it's going to follow Trump's other renaming, which is reverting to Mount McKinley for the Alaskan peak. Obama renamed it the indigenous name Denali. So they're going to go back to Mount McKinley because they said, well, Trump has the authority to rename areas that are solely within the United States, which seems like a fair enough comment. We're all about freedom. So except for all the people they incarcerate more than anyone else in the world. And now let's stay away from the dark side. 51551. We have some music this morning, something to love you. I don't know if this is the dual meanings in this, but the Dandy Warhols, for those of us of a certain vintage, this song's 25 years old, although it doesn't sound a bit of it.